So hello, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, celebrating victory over internet pornography, and my name is Jim. Amen. Well, welcome tonight, and tonight our lesson is on action. If you're a newcomer, just a quick kind of overview, what we do is every other week we give a teaching like we're going to give tonight. It follows a program, the same thing you would do if you were in a step study working on your own healing journey. And then the week after, in between these lessons, is testimony. So some of you may have remembered last month I gave my testimony here. So if you're wondering why I look familiar, that might be it. But if you're new, this is what we're going to go through tonight. Tonight's action teaching is on action, which is lesson number 6. So don't worry if you've missed earlier lessons. This is a cycle that repeats itself. You can pick up anywhere along the line, and this is as good a place as any. Last, 2 weeks ago, Jack gave a presentation on turn, which also covers step 3 and principle 3. With each of these, we do 2 lessons on them, so you'll kind of hear a similar thread. Turn, the acronym stood for, or the acrostic stood for, trust, understand, repent, and a new life. So it was really about transition and transformation, and that we have a choice, and it's not chance, and that we base it on trust. So that was just a quick recap of what Jack took 25 minutes to explain. But I'll go and build on what Jack had to say. So first, if you'll look with me at principle 3, and say it with me, consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. And the scripture is, happier the meek, Matthew 5:5. And step 3, we made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Romans 12:1. All right. In getting to principle 3, we've worked with God's help on the first 2 principles, admitted our lives were out of control, and we came to believe that God could restore us. And the first one, that our lives were out of control, I don't know about you, but it could be for me, it sometimes has been alcohol. It definitely was pornography that was really detrimental both to me and my relationships. And for you, it might even be codependency, where you say yes to things that aren't healthy for you and the people around you, where you're constantly on alert for what do I need to manage right now to keep this environment safe. And we're finding that that is what helped us get in the door, qualified us to be here tonight, is the craziness of that. And then second, we've tried on our own, and that didn't work, and so now a belief that God may be able to help us in this. Even after taking the first 2 steps, we can be stuck in a cycle of failure that keeps us bound by guilt, anger, fear, shame, and depression. I know for myself, you know, I would have moments of sobriety of, okay, I'm turning over a new leaf, put some things in place to have a bit of success, have something that didn't go well, that I had feelings I didn't want to feel anymore, find a way to distract myself, and then end up back where I was, feel bad about myself, feel shame, and get depressed about it, and stay in that cycle for a while because you're depressed. You don't want to feel that, so you continue to stay kind of in the gutter there. And then, okay, finally getting my head up again, I'm going to straighten out, and that cycle just repeating and finding that we can't get past it. So for tonight, to get past it, we're going to focus on action. So principle 3 is all about action. It states consciously choose to commit. And choice does require action. Sometimes we put off making a decision. It's easier to go along with a crowd. Or procrastination. I'll do it next week. This week, I'm not quite ready. Or fear. What if what I choose isn't as great as I think it's going to be? What if there's a better choice? Sometimes that gets us stuck. Not deciding is a decision. If I decide that I'm not going to ask someone to marry me, well, that's a decision not to be married. If I decide I don't want to go to work, it's a decision not to be employed. If I decide I don't want to forgive or make amends, then I'm choosing to hold on to resentment and anger. Putting off a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your higher power, Lord and Savior, is making a decision not to accept Him. Principle 3 is like opening a door. All you need is the willingness to make a decision. Christ can do the rest. Jesus said, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." From Revelation 3, verse 20. If you imagine that imagery, you know, and I know this is true for me because I isolate. So it's a closed door. It's just me on the other side. And there's Jesus knocking. And I'm like, I think I don't like being alone. And all it takes is for me to open the door. Christ isn't going to force his way in, right? So I open the door. I'm a little uncomfortable. Think of this as like a first date. If I'm not familiar with Jesus, and I don't know what to expect. So I'm a little nervous, but Jesus puts me at ease, comes in, has a seat, and we eat. When you eat, you slow down. You take a moment to notice what's in front of you. You notice who's in front of you. And it puts us at our ease, of which that's exactly what Jesus wants to do, and then to work into our lives. Note what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, "I'll come in when you're without sin." He doesn't say when you're completely healed. He doesn't say when you feel strong, "I'm ready to come in." Or when your life is all together. He says, "Open the door and I will come in and eat with you and they with me." Our part is simple. Turn the handle and open the door. So action. Most of you were able to get a handout. Looks like we have a few that didn't. So if you didn't, you can write this on your hand. But the acrostic is A-C-T-I-O-N, action. And I'll go into depth, but first, A is accept, C is commit, T is turn it over, I is it's only the beginning, O is one day at a time, and N is next step. So the first letter, A, stands for accept. Accept Jesus Christ as your higher power and Savior. Make a once-in-a-lifetime decision to ask Jesus into your heart. That's a personal relationship, and now is the time. Romans 10, verse 9 says, "If you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Note the word believe. That means to put our trust in. If we struggle a little bit with that word of trust, well, one of the things just in our everyday life that we do where we trust is we trust other people to obey the law and stay on their side of the road. Now, we got to drive defensively just in case someone doesn't. But in general, most of us made it here without an accident. So that means other people, we trusted them, they trusted us to do our part, and we were all able to get here safely. Once we make this decision, then we can begin to commit to start asking for and following his will. That's the C in the word action, commit. Trying to run our lives on our own power and will proved to be less than successful. Willpower becomes the willingness to accept God's power to guide our life. Saying that again, willpower becomes the willingness to accept God's power to guide our life. Often willpower is, I'm going to white knuckle it. That's how we think of it. I'm going to do it on my own, and I'm just going to try harder. But this isn't what we're talking about here, the willpower to trust in Christ's will for us. We need to pray the prayer the psalmist prayed when he said, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. And that's from Psalm 143, verse 10. What's the T? The T in action stands for turn it over. Let go and let God. You've heard that phrase many times in recovery. It doesn't say, just let go of a few things to God, or just the big things. Proverbs 3, verse 6 tells us, in everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. In everything you do. Jesus isn't looking to be in relationship with a part of you, but all of you, your whole person, the complete of who you are. So what burdens are you carrying tonight that you want to turn over to Jesus? Is it relationship issues or stress? Work stress? Maybe you have alcoholic children or a spouse. Maybe you've recently had the death of a loved one. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. All you who work so hard beneath a heavy yoke, wear my yoke, for it fits perfectly. And let me teach you, for I am gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your souls. For I give you only light burdens. That's from Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. That's a passage I often take encouragement from, because there are times when I do just feel like I'm just beat up or I am just exhausted. And Jesus says, come to me. And that my yoke is light. So if you think about it, the yoke that he's referring to is the yoke of two oxen. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to join you in this, and you get the easy part, and I'm going to do the hard work. And that is so true when we let him. The next letter is in action is I. It's only the beginning. In this third principle, we make the initial decision to accept Christ as our personal Savior. Then we can make a commitment to seek and follow God's will. The new life that begins with this decision is followed by a lifelong process of growing as a Christian. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 puts it this way, God who began a good work in you, within you, will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until the task within you is finally finished. It's a lifelong journey of growth, learning, love, and healing, and God is doing the work. Recovery is not a three-principle program. Principle three is only the exciting beginning of new life, a life to live in a new way one day at a time. This is just a continual relationship of which we get to grow. We'll have setbacks, and I think that's one of the things that being in a relationship with Christ is about, is staying in that relationship so Christ can continue to reconcile us, to heal us, and help guide us. The letter O in action stands for one day at a time. We can be stuck in yesterday or worry about tomorrow, but we can't change yesterday. Only heal and learn from it. Don't get stuck in yesterday. You are not your past mistakes. Guilt lets us know when we've done something wrong. Shame tells us we are wrong, that we're completely flawed. But no, we do things that are wrong. We hurt people. We're selfish at times. And I need to own that. But I think this one right here, one day at a time, and don't get stuck in yesterday. So I'll give a very simple example, and I'll give a deeper one. The first one is not getting in a hurry. I do woodworking, and one time I was needing to shave a little bit off of a piece of wood and had a chisel in one hand, and I grabbed the wood in the other hand and did this. Well, you can imagine, when wood gives away, that chisel went right into my thumb. So the good news is I didn't cut any ligaments or break any bones, but I did spend 3 hours in the waiting room of the emergency room only to get 5 stitches, right? So that's that whole sense of there's no undo button. As soon as I did it, I was like, oh, this wood clamp that's within reach would have taken me 10 seconds to do, and I would have saved myself from going, spending 3 hours with a bunch of sick people in the ER and stitches and recovery time. There isn't an undo, but we can learn from that. I haven't been in for stitches since that time. I have used all my wood clamps. I think through when I grab something, if something goes wrong, what's the consequence? Okay, I don't really want that consequence, so I'm going to take a little extra time and be careful. One of the things I want to say, and this is really true for those of you that are struggling with codependence and difficult relationships, of which you might be living with an addict, and that is you aren't defined by your past. Once Christ has started a healing, and you're gonna have some days of victory and months of victory and years of victory, when someone wants to drag you back into your past and define you by your past, you need to hold a boundary. That is one of those areas that is really important in our healing, is we aren't that. And I had issues in my previous relationship where it would be like, no, Jim, you're this. And I'm like, I was that 10 years ago. I'm not that today. This is what I've done about it. This is where I am today. And so did I do that yesterday? Did I do that last week? Did I do that last year? No. Well, then, you know, yes, I made those mistakes. There's no undo button. I can't take back the harm that I've done. I can only try to heal relationships from that, heal myself from that. So really important for those of you that struggle with that to be able to hold a boundary when someone else wants to drag you into it. An example of that and how to hold a boundary. It's if you're not experienced or you were raised in a way where that wasn't allowed. One example is we would have Thanksgiving and Christmas gatherings, and my mom had a friend who was socially very awkward, and she made everybody in the room kind of feel uncomfortable, and it was supposed to be a family gathering. And so I talked with my mom about it, and I said, I don't want to be there if this person is there. And she's like, but she has nowhere else to be. And I'm like, that's okay. But I'm only going to be there if I can be there and not being in that environment. And if you'd rather have her there, that's fine. I'm just not going to be there. And it's not punishment. It's just me holding a boundary. And I was completely fine with it. I wasn't going to hold resentment towards her for making that choice. But I needed it for myself to hold that boundary. In the past, I would have said, sure, whatever, and then sat there not being myself, not being authentic, not being able to show up, you know, emotionally and spiritually. So that's an example of how to hold a boundary and not being defined by your past. Jesus gave us the instruction for living with this philosophy. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Matthew 6:34. This one is easy for us because we can think, what's going to happen to the economy? What's going to happen when I'm ready to retire? Will everything be okay? Well, what about today? How is today going? Okay, I'm going to go to bed tonight. I'm looking forward to that. I'll get a good night's sleep, hopefully, and then I'll look at tomorrow when tomorrow is here, right? So looking ahead, and we're kind of programmed to look for the worst case scenario to protect ourselves, but no, God is saying, I got you. Just take care of today. Be with me today, right? I can and do live in today, and I can, with Jesus' guidance and direction, make a difference in the way I live today, and so can you. You can make a difference one day at a time. The last letter in our acrostic is N, which stands for next step. The next step is to ask Jesus into your life to be your higher power. Now, I'll take just a moment. Like I said, I gave my testimony last month, but just a little recap of something that was important in my own life. So I was a sophomore in college. I was not taking care of myself. I wasn't living the life that I should live. I had broken up with a serious girlfriend. I had partied too much and drank too much. I'd stayed up late and crammed and found myself in a depression, in a fog, and doing terrible during finals. And came home on break. Now, prior to that, as a high school age kid, my parents were involved in the Charismatic Renewal, and I was like, that's fine for you. I don't want to be a part of it. Laying on of hands, speaking in tongues, any of that, you know, I didn't think it was for me. But when I came home from college in that state, my parents said, can we pray over you? And I, at that point in my life, had tried it on my own, tried it my way, and it wasn't working. And so I said, okay, couldn't hurt, go ahead. So they prayed for a number of different things. One of them is they prayed for me to have relationships with other Christians that would help feed me, help build me back up, that I would find a church community to worship with, and that I would kind of heal from relationships. Well, I'll start with the last one. I joined a group of guys where we challenged each other not to date. And so I went 2 years of not dating. It was some of the best years of my life because I wasn't trying to impress anyone. I wasn't trying to be something for someone else. I was just myself. And we encouraged each other, and that was really good. But the next thing was, I get back to school. My roommate, within the first 2 weeks we're back, says, hey, there's a Bible study that they're starting on campus here. You want to go? Now, up to that point, I had some really good spiritual nourishment in high school, but in college, when I was opening up the Word, it was just dry. It was arid. I just couldn't connect to it. So when he invited me, I'm like, I'd love to go. So I grab my Bible and away we go, and we start in the Gospel of Mark. And the words just came off the page. And the stuff that had been poured into me got fed with water and sprouted and started to grow. And I developed a great fellowship of Christian friends. We get together every summer, even now. Now we're grandparents, right? I was a 19-year-old college kid at the time. So getting to that point of just like, okay, God, whatever, it can't hurt. Letting go of my trying to do it my way, and letting Christ in to do it Christ's way. Rick Warren has developed an easy way for you to establish a spiritual base in your life, and like anything, it's an acrostic, B-A-S-E. So ask yourself the following four questions, and if you answer yes to all of them, pray the prayer that follows. So do I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for me and showed me he was God by coming back to life? Do I accept God's free forgiveness for my sins? Do I switch to God's plan for my life? Do I express my desire for Christ to be the director of my life? If you've already taken this step, in a minute, we'll pray it together. If you haven't and you're ready, we'll get a chance to pray. So let's take a moment first. Loving God, help us here in this place to have the courage to make a decision to embrace your love and healing and guidance in our lives. So if you'll pray with me, and I'll say the phrase, and you can repeat it in your heart. Dear God, I believe that you sent your son Jesus to die for my sins so I can be forgiven. I'm sorry for my sins, and I want to live the rest of my life the way you want me to. Please put your Spirit in my life to direct me. Amen. Now, if you made a decision to invite Christ into your life for the first time, let someone know. It can be your small group leader, it could be your sponsor, or anyone in the leadership team with one of these. and I'll have a chance to pray with you. If this seemed familiar, Jack did something similar 2 weeks ago. So if you missed the opportunity then and you took the opportunity tonight, that's a wonderful blessing, and I thank you. And thank you for listening.